Remember the earlier days when after you have been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved.
Thank you, Brandy. I've never preached before using my phone, the Bible on my phone, but I can blow the words up, so I'm getting at that point to where I need help seeing it. So I'm glad to see that graphic up there, tired of it. So I remember when we started this series in Hebrews, and I saw that graphic the first time, and my first thought, because knowing it was coming from that we were going to be in Hebrews, my first thought was, well, tired of what? And I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about it in terms of my own life, not necessarily in terms of Hebrews, but I got to thinking about it in terms of just walking around in this world these days. And my conclusion was this: tired of all of it. I mean, has anybody gotten there? You just feel like I'm tired of all of it. And that's how life has felt for a while. I'm just tired of it. And when we get tired of things, what do we do? How do we respond to that? I mean, there are some things we get cranky. I mean, there are some things that we get tired of that we can do something about, right? I get tired of a show on TV. I just quit watching the show on TV. Veer and I, we like to try to find one of these shows that you can kind of binge watch. We can watch an episode every night, and they all kind of tie together. But we got through most of the ones that we'd been watching, and so we just started surfing and looking for one to watch, and we came across one. I don't remember what it was on, Netflix or something. And, I mean, we got like two episodes into it, and it was something about they were out in space looking for alien life forms or something. But the whole thing, every episode that we watched was just these people on this ship out in space constantly bickering and arguing, and one of them killed another one, and they hated each other. And after a couple episodes, it's like, I can't deal with all this negativity all the time. It's just constant. And so we just quit it because we could. We got tired of it and we quit it. But there are things that come up in life that you just can't quit. You get that diagnosis and you want to quit it, but you can't. COVID hits and we all want to quit it, but we can't. It doesn't play by our rules. We have to figure out how to somehow play by it. So when I started thinking about tired of it in terms of Hebrews, the question is, well, what were they tired of? I mean, is that appropriate, an appropriate way, is tired of it an appropriate way to describe what's going on in Hebrews? Hebrews, as Todd has told us, Hebrews was most likely a sermon that was preached. It may have been a series of sermons, but it was most likely a sermon, not just a book that was written down for a specific audience. So what's the preacher trying to get across in this sermon that he's preaching. And as we've gone through it up to this point, we would probably conclude that, well, he's trying to tell us that there's something better out there. I mean, we begin the book of Hebrews with the words that in times past and in various ways, God has spoken to us, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son in a better way. And then we had that section where he talks about how Jesus is better than the angels. And then Jesus is better than Moses. And I mean, as far as that goes, all of that's true. You believe that, right? I mean, you believe those. You believe that Jesus is better than angels, and Jesus is better than Moses, and Jesus is better than all the sacrifices in the Old Testament and all that. So it's really not, on the surface, it doesn't sound like it's any kind of particularly unique or unusual message. And is he just trying to reinforce the good thing that we already know? What's the point? Why is he telling us that Jesus is better than all of these things? And at the same time, regularly as we read through Hebrews, we find that he's also giving warnings about walking away from that. Well, I think that for the first time in Hebrews, it starts to become clear from this passage a little bit of what's going on, what they're tired of, and why they are tempted to walk away. And we're going to look at what they're walking back, what they're walking away to, or what they're tempted to walk away to, and then what his solution is. But I want to read this passage again, and I want you to hear what are some things that he mentions here in this passage that you would say, well, if this is going on with me, then I'd be tired of it. Well, remember the earlier days when, after you'd been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Would you be tired of that? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. Would you be tired of that? For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions. They're taking your stuff. Would you be tired of that? Because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you need endurance so that after you've done God's will, you may receive what was promised. Well, they were starting to go through some hardships, weren't they? It says that they were being talked bad about. They were being taunted. They were suffering. They were experiencing afflictions. They were friends of other people who were being treated this way. And we don't always just get tired of ourselves being treated poorly, but sometimes we get more tired of the people we love being treated poorly. And then their stuff's getting taken. I'd be tired of it. And so all of this is coming on them because of their faith in Jesus. And when you get tired of something, you want to be done with it, right? And you start to look at ways, how can I get out of this situation? How can I get out of these circumstances so that this isn't happening to me anymore? And that begins to make sense of many of the passages that we've seen. And 2 weeks ago, it got really explicit in chapter 6 when Todd went through that section that there was a threat of walking away. I mean, if faith in Jesus is causing me all this trouble, then why stick with it? Why keep doing the thing that keeps bringing trouble to me? But they weren't leaving it for nothing. They weren't just saying, well, I'm done, and I don't know, I guess I'll just find whatever else is out there. They knew that there were other things within their world that you could still be a religious person, you could still trust in God, you could still talk about God, you could still worship, you could still do all of that and not suffer, and not be mocked, and not be ridiculed, and not have your stuff taken from you. So maybe we look to one of those things, and the closest thing to them would have been that religion of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, Moses and angels and sacrifices. Well, maybe we just go back to that. Maybe we can just go back to the old religion that didn't have Jesus yet, because we can still worship God through that. We can still find Him through that. And maybe we can be done with the hardship that comes with adding Jesus into that. And so that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why the preacher keeps going back and saying, but Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than those old sacrifices. That what God is doing is better than that temple that you could find. Now, Todd gave me 4 chapters to preach this morning. And so I told Charlie last week to bring a sack lunch with him today. But I've actually about hit it. I want to go through some sections. He makes it pretty clear that there is a real risk. Now, I remember some of my first exposure to Hebrews was with some folks from like Free Will Baptist, where some of those warnings from Hebrews, like specifically the passage that Todd dealt with 2 weeks ago in chapter 6, are ones that we wrestle with a little bit, because it sounds like what he's telling us is that you can be a Christian and walk away from that. And we ask ourselves, well, is that really possible? Because as Southern Baptists, we believe that once God's got you, He's got you. I mean, Jesus in the Gospel of John said that He holds us in His hand, and there's not anybody that can pluck us from His hand. And so we wonder, well, what are all these warnings that were given in Hebrews? But He gives them over and over again. In chapter 2, verse 1, for this reason we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. We go to chapter 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. In chapter 4, therefore, since the promise to enter His rest remains, let us beware lest none of you be found to have fallen short. In verse 11 in chapter 4, let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Got to scroll here. Chapter 6, for it's impossible to renew to repentance those who were once enlightened, who tasted the holy gift, who shared in the Holy Spirit, who tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away. It keeps wanting to go up and down instead of left and right. And then here in chapter 10, there's another warning here at the end. So don't throw away, this is verse 35 and 36, so don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't throw it away. All these warnings about disobedience, throwing the good thing away, and all of that. Because they were tired of it. And they wanted to know, how can I live the life that God intends for me, but not have to endure all this other stuff? And he doesn't really give us an answer about enduring other stuff. Now, he's about to give us a hint in chapter 11. We talk about that that list of those who lived by faith and the great number of examples of faith that we can find from the Old Testament. But remember what he says about them there. He says that, well, they were butchered, they were cut in half, and they were mocked and ridiculed in their own day, and they suffered, and he kind of gives us an idea that, well, that's sometimes just part of what comes with it. This isn't what I originally intended to say, but I'm going to add, this is free. I'm going to add something here for just real quickly, and that is this, that I don't, whether you're a Christian or not, your life is going to involve some hardship and some suffering and some difficulty and some mistreatment, and maybe some abuse, and maybe your stuff gets taken. The world, the lost, sinful, broken world that we live in finds ways to hurt every one of us in one way or another. And the question becomes, do we do that on our own, or do we do that with the resources that the world gives us for that? However effective or ineffective those resources may be, or do we do that with something better? So, I've known a lot of people who've, well, I sure wish this would pass. Well, I do too. And sometimes it does, but often it doesn't. And when it doesn't, the question is, what do we fall back on? Last week, Brother Charlie was telling me about a verse here in chapter 10 that was one that became meaningful for him early on. It's verse 25, correct, Brother Charlie? I'm in chapter 11. I'm about to read the wrong thing. Well, I'll back up to 24. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the preacher does not mean to use that as a way to say, well, now, y'all be sure that you get your envelope out and you check that little box that says you attended today. Because that's what's important. He doesn't mean it as a way to guilt people who aren't here or can't be here for one reason or another. He's not saying go to church because it's the thing that you're supposed to do. That's not what he says. He doesn't say go to church because it's the thing that you ought to do. He says, go to church because, get in the gathered people of God because it's there that you find encouragement. I do a lot of stuff every week. I work, and so I'm exposed to corporate America. I watch a little TV. I watch some shows. I'll go out to a restaurant every now and then and eat at Chick-fil-A or, you know, somewhere else good. There's a lot of places that I go in the world. And there are a lot of messages that you and I get. I watched the Super Bowl a few weeks back, and I was sitting there thinking about this yesterday, and I thought, who played in that game? It was the Rams, and who did they play? And I didn't look it up, and I still can't, I can't tell you who they played. Who? Oh, he can't either. Oh, see? But I didn't watch the Super Bowl because I cared anything about either of those two games. I watched the Super Bowl for two things, probably the same reason you did. Well, let's see what this halftime show's about and the commercials. Because the best commercials come out at the Super Bowl. Some of them are so funny. And stupid. And so we get all these messages. Commercials are put on by marketing and advertising companies that are meant to motivate you to do something, to buy something, to go somewhere, usually to spend your money in some way. But they are motivated to tell you how your life can be better. Your life is going to be better if you drive that Subaru. It's going to be better if you eat those Doritos. That's something I can get on board with. It's going to be better if you do something with the thing that they're trying to give you, because they're telling you that these are the things that are going to make your life meaningful and worthwhile and fix the stuff that you're tired of. And we get those messages in our world through all kinds of avenues and means on a daily basis. But I come to this place not because it's the Christian thing to do, not because it's how I was raised, but because this is the one place that I can come every week where I can hear that out of all of that, when life is tough and when I'm ready to leave it behind and I'm tired of it, that I can hear that Jesus is better. The world is going to, these Christians that were being preached to here were convinced or starting to be convinced that maybe that Old Testament religion of sacrifices and temple and bulls and goats and Moses and the law is better. Maybe that's the better way to get through without having to deal with all this garbage that we're dealing with. Maybe we can get rid of the mocking, and maybe we can get rid of the ridicule and the suffering and all of that if we just go back to the old ways. The world is always going to give us options for ways to be relieved of what we are tired of. But the only place that I find a reminder week after week that there really is something genuinely better is right here. Because I can come every week and I can know that even when, you know, one of the things in our bulletin at the very beginning of the order of service is a prayer of confession. And I've always thought, you know, if it's ever my turn to pray the prayer of confession, I feel a sense of obligation to pray, God, forgive me for my part in what I do on a day-to-day basis that contributes to the brokenness of this world. To confess that too often I'm a part of the problem instead of the solution. But I can come here And I can hear Todd remind us week after week after week that there is grace and there is mercy and there is a God who loves us in spite of our participation very often in the brokenness of the world around us, and that He is leading us to a better way. And that He's doing it through His Son, who is better than the angels, better than Moses, better than the old sacrificial system, because He has once for all done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has loved us. He has forgiven us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve a lick of it. He has cared for us, and He is there even when we are a part of the problem to say, come on, let's get back up and let's go back down this right path where Jesus is the goal, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, you and me and all of us will continue to live out in this world, and we'll continue to hear messages all around us every day from every source telling us, no, listen, here's the way that your life is going to be better. Here's the way that you can get rid of the mess. Here's the way that you can step out of the brokenness of the world around you. And there's always going to be a temptation for us to say, maybe. Yeah, I know some of you are sitting there saying, oh, nope, not me. Well, look at what a pandemic did, not just to this church, but to nearly every church. There are people who left who haven't come back. And I don't say that as judgment toward anyone. I say that as just the reality that there are people who went for a while without coming to the gathered church and said, well, maybe I can get along without that. Maybe there are answers out here that are equal to the message that I find in here. We're always going to be confronted with the temptation to walk away. I don't care how young or old you are. I don't care how good or bad life circumstances are for you. The devil will find you on your deathbed, and he will tempt you to walk away. And the message that I want you to hear is that Jesus is always better. He always will be. And in the midst of those moments where you feel like walking away, don't. Keep turning to Him because He's better.